You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera alongside co-host Jay Gonzalez, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Good afternoon, Jay. I think it is Thursday. Didn't we establish that?
It is Thursday again. It's garbage day for me. I always know when it's Thursday.
Garbage day it is, although we do have Tony Amato for the U of A soccer coach here. We'll be talking about what they're going to do for the fall, how they're going to get ready for the spring, if there is a spring, things like that. Join the company because last spring, those coaches had to say sorry too.
Well, right. Well, you know, we had Tony on back in May, you know, just after I came on as a co-host of the show. He was one of our first guests. And, you know, we were talking about his team and how they were going to look and how excited they were and yada, yada, yada. And
pull the plug.
I know that back in May, none of us thought we were going to be sitting here talking to him about how they don't have a season.
No.
Or at least they don't have a fall season.
That's how things change on a dime, as they say.
They did.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things we didn't talk about yesterday was something that we love talking about local. But the U of A football team will not be playing, but they're still busy with recruiting.
They're busy with recruiting.
They've got a couple of
great catches. They got Trayson Bergay, the quarterback from South Point that we talked about last week.
His dad talked to his dad.
He called in because there had been some stuff on social media that his son was thinking about going to another state to play because they were unsure about playing here. But he had assured us that he was going to stay, and his son loved the Wildcats, and he now committed.
And they have another guy coming from Phoenix, Kayon Grays, I think it is.
Right, and he's supposedly the best receiver of the 2021 class in the state. So those are two good gets for Kevin Sumlin.
And that's where I wanted to kind of go with that. Historically, at least in the last few years, not just so much under Kevin, but they've had a hard time getting the locals.
Both Arizona State and Arizona have had those problems, you know, and just, you know, last year, the guys who were in this freshman class, you know, there were some top-of-the-line players that came out of Tucson and didn't come here. You know, John Fina's kid went to UCLA. Or is he the one that went to Boston
College?
He went to UCLA.
UCLA. Parker? Glenn Parker's son.
Glenn Parker's kid went to
Columbia, I think. One of those schools. Fancy, smart schools.
Cornell.
One of those.
Yeah. Another kid went to Boston College. And then, of course,
Robinson.
Bijan Robinson went to Texas.
So
those are two good gets for Arizona early in the recruiting process for 2021. So we'll see.
I know I saw the story in the Star today, and Bergay said that maybe it'll start a trend. It couldn't hurt.
Yeah, and that's I love hearing him say that. I've heard a couple of other local recruits say that, and that trend never got going. But you know, maybe so. You know, he's by all accounts a great kid. Actually, he's the 2022 class.
Because
he's going to be a junior next year. I'd love for that to happen. I mean, you like to see those kids stay. You root for them, and whether it's a reason to stay or not. You know, if you're a local kid and then you do well, you become a legend in this town.
Sure. Let me say this, because you know this better than me, because you grew up here. You've seen the David Adams. You've seen the many. I mean, Vance Johnson's, people like that stay and play and become these stars.
Right.
But if you're very, very good, and not to say that they aren't, they're very good too. People want to leave. They want to leave their hometown.
They want to
go to Texas. And if you have those pretty girls chasing you, guess what you're going to do?
Well, it's hard to say no when, you know,
exactly,
a USC or an Alabama or a Texas or Ohio State or somebody like that comes calling. Mm-hmm. It's really hard. And like anything else, in Arizona's up, you know, Arizona can't recruit at their level. They never have, and they're not going to. Let's face it, Arizona's Arizona, and when those schools come in here, they can pick out those kids, and you know, and some of them go, but you know, a lot of those kids have to understand there's more to it than okay, you know, I'm going to go to Ohio State and I'm going to be the guy, because you're not always going to be the guy, because they're recruiting 24 other kids,
sure,
just like you, and in a lot of times better than you. So you got to think about that.
I think one of the things that you don't want to happen, and this happened a few years back when Levi Wallace goes to Alabama,
right,
and he does what he does, and now he's with Buffalo, and he was in your backyard. You don't really think, here's a guy who's a buck 50 right, in wet, and then turns out to be this player. You don't want to miss on those guys.
You don't want to miss on those guys either. And when you do, it's a bad look. So that's a problem too. But right, you know, good for Kevin Sumlin. You know, just with the way things gone, you know, his first couple of years, you know, you just hope that things are starting to turn for the Cats.
So when was the last time you were kind of dumb? I will use that stupid.
Yesterday?
Yeah. Well, probably not as bad as the kid from the Seattle Seahawks.
You know, I read about this and I didn't know what to say.
You laughed though.
I laughed. I shook my head. I laughed. I felt bad for him in a way that he couldn't have been smarter than that. But
explain, please.
Well, the Seattle Seahawks have a rookie football player. I laughed so hard I don't even know his name. I don't even know if he's going to make the team.
Kinez Severin.
But you have
he's not on the team.
You have a rookie trying to make the team with the Seattle Seahawks. They've more or less got them in a bubble. You know, they've got them I wouldn't call it quarantine, but they've got them isolated. You know, all the players in camp and stuff like that. And he went to great lengths to try and sneak his girlfriend.
Or a girl.
Well, a girl. I guess I shouldn't say his girlfriend. A girl into his hotel room.
How?
He dressed her up as a Seahawk, as a player. Now
entering the building, 5'4", kicker.
You know, I got to wonder, one, just first, how the idea struck him. Well, I know how the idea struck him, and I know where it struck him. It's
the age old adage,
right? But you know, you have an opportunity. Again, it's that thing where you get an opportunity and you blow it, just like that.
All those years of doing this and that to get to the spot,
to get to this,
and then hey, come to the room.
Yeah, I was speechless on that one.
Let's go to baseball now, where some other people haven't been smart, and now they're kind of defending themselves, Plesac and the kids from Indiana,
Cleveland,
the Indians, where they're saying, we're not bad guys. Well, okay, you're not bad guys, but you're not smart guys.
You're really dumb, though. I mean, dumb doesn't always make you bad, but if you're dumb, you're dumb.
Yeah,
and that
yeah.
was dumb that those two guys did what they did.
Let me say this too, and I hate to do this, but I've seen it a lot lately. We live in a culture where we got to blame somebody. So it's the media to blame for making this story bigger than it was. I don't know about
Mm-mm.
that.
No way. No way. Because here's the thing. In the end, both of those are very serious
issues,
situations for what these guys are trying to do. The NFL is trying to have a football season.
Yeah.
All right? And the Seahawks are trying to have a football season. They've got millions, billions of dollars invested in this. And you have this guy who's just not smart enough to not do what he did. And the same thing with Major League Baseball. You've got the Cleveland Indians. You know, they're trying to have a season. You've already seen what happened at the Marlins and the Cardinals. And yet these two guys go wander out and put everything at risk. And I don't... Whatever happens to those guys is not hard enough on them.
Right, right. They've already got the bad name from their teammates.
Yeah, so, you know, and if I'm one of their teammates,
you're PO'd.
I wouldn't beat the crap out of them.
Yeah, you're PO'd. Of course.
I really do.
We'll get to other things on the other side. There's no fall championships. There's still three big five schools out there hanging on. So we'll do take a break.
Right. Talk to Tony Amato and see what he's up to.
There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply. Camille Rivas Rutherford with Coldwell Banker Realty has been one of the top producing real estate agents in Tucson, Oro Valley, Marana, and Vail for more than 20 years. Let her help you find your dream home in southern Arizona. Her passion and enthusiasm for real estate has helped her become one of the most respected and trusted realtors in the area. And she was recently named a recipient of Coldwell Banker's 2019 International President's Circle Award. Camille's approach to sales and marketing and selling or buying a home is second to none. Give her a call at 520-250-5192.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10-3 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside co-host Jay Gonzalez. And now on the phone, we have UA soccer coach Tony Amato. And indeed, there was a bomb dropped this week on coaches like Tony. How you doing, Tony?
I'm hanging in there, guys. It's weird to call in and not be on a Zoom call.
You're
welcome.
An actual phone. So Tony, you know, we were just talking before, before the break that, you know, we had you on back in May and, you know, we were, you know, the spring seasons had been canceled, but, you know, we got to talking and we talked about your team and what it was going to look like in the fall, the excitement of, you know, of a season coming up. And I know that back then none of us thought we were going to be sitting here talking about this, did we?
We sure didn't think it would last that long, did we? We were hopeful as the summer went on and obviously that all hasn't gotten better and it didn't change enough. And we got pushed to the spring this week. So yeah, it's been a tough, heavy week for everyone.
So have the other coaches said, Tony, I feel for you because it happened to us.
Yeah. Another coach not far from across the hall popped over and said that to me right after we found out.
Right.
So yeah, it's been hard. A lot of the players were preparing for it or not so much expecting it, but, you know, we weren't blindsided by it. But much like when you watch a boxing fight, like the boxer knows that they're going to get hit, but it still hurts when you get hit.
Right.
And I think that's how it felt for the team this week.
So what, from the time that you, that it became official to the last couple of days, what have you been doing? What things are you sorting out? What are the players asking about? What's the game plan right now? Yeah. What's next?
Well, we're moving forward with training and we were starting phase one this week. So we were testing players earlier in the week and making sure they're cleared with physicals, wellness checks, really learning about the protocols in place so that we can train safely. And so we just came back on Monday and we were, inching our way forward with those things and working through all the kinks. And the team was doing a good job with a lot of that. And so we're pushing forward with that to get back on the field with our strength coach, Jim Krumpos, on Monday and keep moving forward with some of those smaller things with the plan to get back on the field at some point in the next few weeks in terms of soccer. But we just don't have all the details. We don't know for sure what the fall is going to look like in terms of training and some of those details. But I have some ideas kicking around in my head of how we can do it, how we can do it better than everyone else. I actually think this fall is the most important fall of my coaching career. And so we want to do a really good job with it. Go ahead.
Well, I'm thinking that's a great sentiment because the way you get better is by practicing. You practice, you're probably one of those coaches, you practice Monday through Friday and you show what you've learned on Saturday. I assume that's what your philosophy is, but you have a lot of practice to do.
We do. The silver lining is, we don't play a game for 6 months if we start in January. And our freshmen, when they usually come in, they have 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
They get, it's really sink or swim. So we have a lot of time now to get them ready. And so that is the silver lining part, I think, for the freshmen, even though they were, just as devastated as the older players because they were feeling like they've worked their whole career to get a scholarship and to play in the Pac-12. And then, it's been delayed now. But it does give us some time to get them ready, and we do feel good about that. And we've talked to the team about, it's easy to when you have games in front of you to stay disciplined, to improve, to get better every day. And, a lot of athletes can do that. Doing it when there's a lot of adversity, there's no games ahead of you, staying disciplined to get better each day, that's where it's hard. And I think there's no better team suited for that based on what our foundation is, what our philosophy is, and how we're going to lead the group through that.
I hate to keep, hitting on the hard stuff, but you know, I mean, how bad was the disappointment for them? I mean, were they, or you know, were they, I mean, are they like really crushed, or are they like, okay, let's go on? I mean, where are they on that?
I would say they're all pretty gutted right from the beginning. You know, if you're a freshman, you've worked your whole life. You're a sophomore. You thought, oh, now this is my chance. I got through my freshman year. I'm going to play. Working through the classes. Like if you're a senior, you're going, oh, I was going to have a great senior year, graduate, move on to bigger and brighter things. So everyone at all levels is devastated. As a coach, we were devastated. We were feeling like, you know, we've been working through our whole career, building teams, building programs. Here's another season that we can, you know, really challenge and get better. And, you know, that's been delayed. So everybody felt it. But now, you know, we told the team, well, we're going to feel bad the day it was announced. And then the next day we're going to start chipping away at this and getting a little better and finding a way to do it and do it well.
Do you have any players that were going to graduate in December that were going to be gone and or still maybe gone this spring that aren't going to be back? Or do you have any situations like that?
Jill Aguilera got in. She redshirted her freshman year. She hurt her knee, so she was going to graduate in December, and now we're trying to figure that out. But we don't have any answers yet. We got to see what it looks like in the next week, 2 weeks, 2 months, and we'll go from there.
I was going to kind of go there too. Recruiting, does that change? I mean, the delay of 6 months or 5 months, whatever it is, where you got to figure out what you're going to go to next for the next year or two?
Well, recruiting, we've had a dead period, so we haven't been able to get out on the road, but we've been working really hard getting to know players through Zoom calls and video. And, you know, we had, you know, Sandy, my assistant, had done a great job identifying some players before COVID hit. So we are working hard at that. And fortunately for us, with some of the, you know, if we don't play or there's delays or if players have more years of eligibility and those sort of things, we'll work through that. But the way we recruit, we have, you know, more so than specific positions, we go after dynamic attackers, really tough defenders, and, you know, you got to have a goalkeeper. And then we figure it out and we put people in positions based on their quality. So we'll be fine. We'll be able to maneuver it. And we'll see what the future holds for us.
A minute ago, you said this is the most important season for you as a coach ever. Why did you say that?
Well, my whole career, we've said that sports really set you up and add an educational piece for you to get out of college and add value to an organization in a significant way. And it creates some adversity and challenges and competition for you to overcome. And it has situations where you have to work with other people and teammates. And it's really unlike any other avenue out there. And it's now more than ever that feels like why we do sports and how we can add value. Like, can you maneuver during a pandemic? Sports are supposed to teach you to be able to do that. And so now we're faced with it, and that's why it feels so important. This is why we add value. This is why we have an athletic department that adds value to the University of Arizona and the education of everyone that comes through there.
Yeah, I talked about this earlier with the other coaches that suffered this in the spring, but the Dave Rubios and guys like that, just you guys are all just together now and thinking, what are we going to do for the fall except for just keep busy?
Well, I don't want to just keep busy. I want to get better, and we're going to work with our team. Whoever is here, we're going to work with them to get better. I'm excited about working with the freshmen. I'm excited about, you know, every player in our team that I think it's an opportunity to grow and get better and work through some stuff. So I'm not interested in staying busy. I'm going to figure out how we're going to maneuver the COVID protocols. How are we going to train and get better, and how are we going to set ourselves up to come out the other side of this better than all teams that we would compete against?
Great answer.
Yeah. Do you feel like there's been, at least around McHale, I mean, has there been that kind of approach, you know, across the board? You know, are you guys all, now it's like everybody's going through this. Everybody's been through this. Everybody's had their seasons impacted, even the winter sports, because they're not going to start, you know, until January. Now that everybody has been, you know, smacked in the back of the head by this, is there kind of a little more of an understanding of what everybody else is going through?
Well, normally, one of my favorite things about working at Arizona is the camaraderie in McHale and the closeness of the coaches and the programs. But it's a ghost town in McHale because no one's really able to be in there. So that part is hard to say, you know, but overall, you know, I know each coach is working from their ends. I've talked to coaches, or we've had coaches meetings, and, you know, I've had some on the phone where everyone's in the same boat of saying, you know, we're gonna get through this and come out the other side in a good place.
Yeah, no question. We had Dr. Robbins in a couple of days ago, Hickey in yesterday. So, you know, they're all trying to keep busy. You know, Robbins with the general population, obviously, and Hickey with the general student athlete. So everyone's busy trying to get their job done. So it's crazy. I'm sure it's crazy.
It's different. It's definitely very different. But I think our university, from, you mentioned President Robbins to Dave Hickey, all the leadership trickling down to us, everyone, you know, is capable of maneuvering through this. And we're going to be thriving when it's all over.
So how is this working, you know, down, you know, as you step it down and, you know, you're talking to recruits and, you know, high school kids who are, you know, looking at, you know, a college soccer career, where are their heads right now in terms of what the pandemic is doing to all of sports?
Well, the hardest part for them is the recruiting process. And so they're wanting to play, but they had thought this was going to be a really exciting recruiting time for them. The juniors and seniors to get out and visit campuses, be with teams, see them play, and they're struggling with that part. And they're starting to take visits on their own. There are rules in place that when they just go see a campus, we can't even talk to them on the phone while they're on campus. So, and the vibe of campus is totally different. So they're having to make some college decisions. Well, they don't have to, but it looks like they are making college decisions without really getting a great picture of what it's going to be like at that university on that team. And that's hard.
I'm sure it is. Just crazy times that we're living in right now.
It sure is, but we'll be okay.
Yeah. Mr. Positive, Mr. McCoach, thank you for helping us out here. We appreciate it.
You know, Tony, we're struggling with this. And I know everybody's been talking about football, but, you know, all along the way, you know, Steve and I have really, you know, understood that, you know, there's athletes on campus besides the football players, and who sports is just as important to them as it is to, you know, to football. And you know, we feel bad for all of them. And it's, you know, I don't know that any of us back in March, April, even May thought we were going to be here today. So we appreciate, you know, you staying positive, and, you know, we wish you all the best and hope that you guys are playing in the spring.
I appreciate it, guys. Bear down.
All right. Bear down. To you, too.
That was Coach Tony Amato from the U.S. soccer team. Let's take a quick break. Great interview here on 1030 The Voice.
Go local. Make the switch. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer customized solutions and get you what you need faster, like our quick and easy credit cards and auto loans. All done online from start to finish. Save time using mobile banking, bill pay, mobile deposit, and mobile pay with just a few clicks. Live large, accessing 30,000 plus surcharge-free ATMs and free debit card choices. Make the switch to Hughes today. Visit HughesFCU.org/switch. Certain restrictions apply, insured by NCUA.
I'm Ron Hess from the Window Depot. You know about our great prices and our biggest inventory on windows and doors. Well, now the Window Depot is the place for all your kitchen cabinets. And that's not all. Now you can get granite countertops at the Window Depot. That's right, we now stock a large variety of prefab granite countertops starting at $116 for a 9-foot section. That's less than Formica. So come into the Window Depot today, because now we have granite.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside co-host Jay Gonzalez. September 2021. Can't you wait?
God, you know. I could listen to this song over and over and over again, and there was a time when I did, but, you know, I want September to be a celebration of stuff starting, and now that it's not this September, we got to wait till next September. I'm bummed about that.
I thought
that.
You made a good point in as much as the football team and the basketball team, both men and women, get a lot of the press. The Rubios, the Amatos, and people like that, or the players, don't get enough.
They don't, and you know what? They're as committed to this as all of them.
And let me tell you something, because you've been in this side of the business as well for a long time. Some of the best stories or from those programs.
Sure. You know, well, and that's it, because these kids, why do I call them kids? I mean, it makes me sound like an old man.
But they're 19 years old. Yeah,
but, you know, these students, these athletes, you know, at this age, you know, as Tony said, you know, the college soccer players, they've been playing soccer all their lives. Mm-hmm. So that they could get to this, just like the football player, just like the basketball player, just like the baseball player. They've all been going through the same things, doing all the same things, you know, started, you know, at the youngest ages to be playing college sports. And for, you know, we focus on the football players, you know, we've been focused on them all fall, and the soccer players and volleyball, and they've all been going through the same thing.
Let me say this, because you know I'm chomping at the bit to ask you this question. You can see my face. Football players could get paid likeness and all that good stuff. Basketball players could be. Guess what? And Title IX stuff. Volleyball players worked their butt off. Soccer players worked their butt off. What about them?
Yeah, they're not going to get any of that.
That's my point. What do you feel?
Well, I hate to use the term, it is what it is, but it is what it is, because, you know, us as a society, as a country, you know, we're interested in football. Football gets on television. Mm-hmm. We're interested in basketball. Basketball gets on television. You know, you go to a women's soccer game, and Arizona is one of the better mm-hmm. better drawing programs. You know, their stadium is full most of the time, or, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people there, but it's not 10, 15,000, 40,000, 50,000 people. And that's just where they are. And those players are going to have to be happy with, you know, getting an education and whatever opportunity might come from that. You know, maybe they get to go play pro soccer somewhere and start getting paid, but that's just the way it's going to be. And there's really nothing that can be done about that.
No, you're right. And I don't disagree with you at all. It's, and I hate to use the word fair or unfair, because it's no such word, fair or unfair. But, you're right.
Look, you go into that sport, and you probably got to understand that's what it's going to be. Now, softball is getting to be, and even women's basketball is getting mm-hmm. to be to a point where there are opportunities like that. You know, there are some pro softball leagues, some pro, mm-hmm. and, you know, the WNBA. You know, I could see in Tucson, Arizona, maybe, you know.
Well, the McDonald jersey. McDonald jersey.
Right. A top softball player maybe mm-hmm. bringing in a little bit, you know, doing some local promotion or something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe a woman, you know, maybe an area. McDonald might mm-hmm. be able to do something like that, and there might be a handful of athletes in those, but in general there's not going to be. But even in football, I mean, who on the football team are you going to pay to endorse your product?
There's only one dude I would do right now if I was a smart businessman. Gunnell.
Yeah.
And you kind of don't even know who he is.
Right. And it'd be the quarterback.
In fact, because you go to football games, so, you know, I wouldn't pick him out of a lineup unless I knew this 6'4", 6'5" guy was the quarterback. Right. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what he looks like.
You're right. So, and you know, I've had the conversation with a lot of different people talking about, you know, there's all this money to be had. Well, no. There is and there isn't.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't think it's going to be like the old days where, you know, a booster would pay a football player, you know, $200 a week to come and water the grass.
I'll refer to you to the movie I talk about all the time, back with Robbie Benson.
One-on-one.
Where he paid
the $200 handshake.
The $200, you water the grass,
right.
And the water is automatic.
Right. I just don't know that that's going to happen here.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
And that's one thing people are worried about. Okay, so how do you prevent, you know, Joe Booster from giving this guy thousands of dollars to do nothing? I'm not sure that we're doing that much anymore,
you know?
So it'll be interesting to see, but, you know, there's only going to be a handful of athletes who are going to be able to make anything from name, image, likeness mm-hmm. As we go forward. You know, we've really not delved into this a whole lot, you know, you and I, and I think we should. I still don't understand a lot of it, other than
the pay for.
Right. Yeah. There's an opportunity for some of these athletes to make some money, but unless you're Trevor Lawrence, you know, at Clemson.
Sure.
Who's going to pay you thousands and thousands of dollars, you know, to endorse their stuff?
You're talking about the SEC. Who knows?
Right.
They have, yeah.
Right. Well, he's in the SEC.
My whole thing is, too, and I get the pay for, you know, you get the endorsements for who you are and all that stuff. And this is maybe just me thinking this. So if I'm the center or the right guard, left guard, blah, 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 I'm blocking for this guy, and he's got this and that, and what do I got? well, I've got a meal coming for me on Monday.
Right.
You know, right. There might be some resentment.
I get a way to do that might be, you know, you sell different numbered jerseys and whoever's wearing that number gets a cut of that or whatever. Because, you know, a few years ago, jersey sales, they had to stop that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they were just putting the numbers. Year of the season mm-hmm. on the jersey now. You know, my son had a Willie Tuatama jersey, right? And they had to stop doing that because the players were saying, wait a minute, I should get that because
they're buying it before
that
me.
That jersey got bought because it's my number, so they stopped doing that. So I could see that being a small place where they might get maybe a little bit if the U of A decides to, you know, or any college decides NCAA. To start selling jersey numbers, you know, sell the basketball player's jersey. You know, Adam had Jason Gardner's jersey, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, there's some opportunities there, but I just don't know that you're going to go pluck the quarterback out to come and sell cars for you. Right?
Yeah, no question.
But I think we kind of went on a tangent there. But you know the back to the point that you know these athletes who are missing a fall season are missing just as much as the football players, as the basketball players. Well, the basketball players aren't going to miss their entire season. It doesn't look like, but you know they're sacrificing just as much as everybody else, and that's really the unfortunate piece of it. And you know, we did talk about this, that those are the ones that you feel the worst about. You know, the coaches are making money, they're getting paid, you know, they're going to keep, you know, running their programs and do what they're going to do, but these athletes, they're here for the games.
Mm-hmm.
They go through the practice and the sacrifice and the weightlifting and all that stuff to play the game.
Sure.
They don't have the games.
Right. No question. Hey, you mentioned a name that you probably didn't even know you were going to mention his name. Jason Gardner. Do you see what happened today?
No.
See what happened? He's been out of basketball coaching after coaching in college for a few years, got into a little bit of a mess. He's back coaching in high school at his alma mater.
Good for Jason.
Yeah. I'm going to try to get him on the show because when there was a coaching search as an assistant, when Jason Terry got the job, I was trying to get him on the phone to see if he was interested in the job.
Good for him. You'd like to see him come back from the troubles that he had. And you know, I know, you know, he was my kid's one of his favorite players. Although he was a little bummed that he didn't put that shot in against Kansas.
Yeah, this, I remember
2003, because we were ready to go to the Final Four that year, and that shot didn't go in, and they were a little bummed. But you know, he actually Adam dressed as Jason Gardner for Halloween one year.
Uh-huh.
He had his jersey. Remember, the jerseys didn't have their names on them, but we put the name on it. We got him a skull cap because, you know, Jason had the you know, pretty much the shaved head, and we got him a skull cap, and he was Jason Gardner for
the Iron
for
Man
Halloween.
The Iron Man, more games played than anybody, more minutes played than anybody, underrated quarterback, point guard, and a good guy.
He was good for Arizona, did a great job here. One of the guards that you point to when you talk about, you know, point guard and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, good kid.
Yeah, good kid.
And good for him.
He was the right point guard at the right time with Walton,
right.
Richard Jefferson,
right.
Lauren Woods. And I'm trying to track down Lauren Woods, so I hope to get him on sometime too. So, yeah, that was with Gardner. Anything else? I wanted to talk about, before we went to break, we had the three big conferences still on an island, hoping against hope that they're still going to play.
Well, it's more of an island now because the NCAA announced today that no Division I championships for the fall are going to be held. Now, you know, if those three leagues that haven't canceled all their sports, all their fall sports, want to have sports, they can, and they can have conference championships and the whole bit, but there are going to be no NCAA championships for fall sports. So I'm, you know, I would think that they're not even going to play.
Maybe
they will, just to try and prove a point, but I think in the end, we're going to be here talking in October, and
there's no games.
There aren't going to be any games.
Right. So I told you before we started the show, there's a website, a gambling website, that says the 17-4 that they're going to have a season in the spring. One date that they will not. So the money is that they're not going.
They're saying the odds are that there's not going to be a football season. I just don't know how they can. I mean, the CDC came out today and said, guys, sports is one of the worst things we can possibly do right now.
Sure. Along with bike rides in North South Dakota and riots in the streets and everything else.
So, I, you know, I don't know. I'm just a little worried.
They're not going to be football.
I'm just a little worried about what we're doing here. And what's going to happen.
I say there's not going to be a football. I'll go with a 1-8. Let me talk to the grumpy old man in the other side. No football, right?
Get off my lawn, Steve.
Yeah, there's no football, right?
You know what? My percentage has dropped to 1.5. But I'm saying there's a chance. And the only reason I will never put it at zero is just because of the money involved. That's right. Really what it comes down to for me, as I realize the economics at stake here. The right thing to do for the health of the student athletes and everyone else involved, coaches and student athlete grandparents, it takes a village, would be to not play. But I also understand that, you know, money is a very powerful motivator for a lot of people who don't have to be the ones spilling their blood on the football field.
So I think the next move, today's August 13th-ish, isn't it? So the over-under, September 1 on the call that there will be no football? Give me an over-under.
Things have got to get better. I mean, the students are going to get on campus, and then mm-hmm. we're going to find out whether mm-hmm. or not this is even possible.
Right.
But, something that I'd like to talk about. Maybe we can come back and talk about this after the break. Jeff Brohm, the coach at Purdue, put out a full-blown plan for spring football. I'd love to go through some of that. Some of the possibilities of that are pretty great.
So let's go back to
break. He did a deep dive on it.
Let's go to break here on 10:30 The Voice, and we'll talk about that on the other side.
These days, most families are concerned with having the right insurance coverage. Protecting your family, home, auto, and other valuable possessions can be challenging and sometimes expensive. Crest Insurance gives you flexible options and solutions while saving you money. Insurance is not one size fits all, and at Crest, we find the coverage that's best for you and your family. Visit us online at www.crestins.com or call us toll free at 888-881-5765.
There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. So hit me with some projections on the spring games.
Well, here's the thing. And look, you know, if you throw something out there like this for us to talk about, since we're not talking about games, we're going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And Jeff Brohm.
Interesting.
And it's interesting stuff. Jeff Brohm, the head coach at Purdue, well, you know, Big Ten school. So one of the schools whose fall season got pushed into the spring. It sounds like he went and buried himself in some house by a lake and dug in and put together this plan that seems kind of viable. I'm trying to start the conversation because, you know, we're going to kick this around and all over the place. So I think he was trying to create a starting point. So what he developed was a structure for 2021, where they would have a spring season and then a shorter fall season that would start later to leave a big mm-hmm. gap for people to recover. And the basic points of it are, you know, an 8-game spring season that would run from the end of February to mid-April with either a playoff or, you know, conference championships and a 4-team playoff. And he's trying to get all the teams to agree to do this. So, all five Power Five schools. And then, so the regular season would end mid-April, and then you have your playoffs and whatnot, and that goes through mid-May. And then, you know, you give them plenty of time off, and you start a fall season where you start playing games the first week of October.
Oh, September, October. Well, you know,
you go 10 games.
He talked about something similar.
Similar,
starting later in the fall,
right,
to make it accommodating for rest, right, and recovery.
Right. And then the added thing to this was then he said, and then no spring practice mm-hmm. in 2022. Just give these guys
a break.
Yeah. Sure. You know? And a lot of it seemed to make sense. One of the things I liked about it is that what he said was to have, instead of every conference having their conference championship game and then you pick four teams to go into the playoff like you have now, instead have a six-team playoff, the five conference champions and one wild card.
Mm-hmm.
You seed it, and the number one and two seeds get a first round bye.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have a 16 playoff. So basically, if you're one of the lower seeds, three through six seed, you've got to win three games to win the national championship. But it's a playoff that runs in May. And I'm like, I am all for that.
You of course you are.
I'm all for that. I'm loving that. And you know, and look, you know, they've talked about the fact that, you know, football is, they're still going to play, and not practice, but they're still going to work out. Mm-hmm. They're going to do all the things that they're doing to keep in shape, to try to be ready to have a season in January. And this takes that into consideration. And then they have, you know, say they start a full-on training camp middle of January, go for a couple of weeks, make it, at the end of January, you actually start having practices, a maximum number of, you know, full practices with pads, all that kind of stuff. I mean, he went into huge detail on this. You can find it if you're not a subscriber to The Athletic. I'm sure you can find it somewhere else. But The Athletic, posted all his charts and his graphics and all that kind of stuff. And again, somebody's going to have to start this conversation. Mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm. You know, if you throw a plan out there, then have at it.
Right.
I'm just saying, let's start putting, if they're going to try to have a spring season, start working on it right now.
Well, they have to. Yeah, there's
right
no choice.
Right,
so let me say this now that you talk about that with the spring possibilities of playing games. If they cannot play, which I think it's, my guess is they will not play because of the virus, obviously.
Right.
Do you have spring practice? If you can't play games?
If you can't play games in the spring?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you can't play games in the spring,
exactly.
If we're not to a point where you can't play games, you certainly can't be practicing either.
That's my point. Right. So it's all still up in the air.
Oh, it's way still up in the air.
Yeah.
A lot has to happen between now and the end of the year for any of this to happen.
Mm-hmm. Vaccine being one of them.
A vaccine and all that kind of stuff. But again, you got to put a plan in place so that if you can,
no question,
you got something ready to go.
You have to do your due diligence to continue to do, because something could happen.
Right. Because again, you know, with the NCAA canceling all fall championships this year, they're basically saying,
mm-hmm.
You shouldn't be playing.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, you're a busy guy keeping score and going to these events, and you kind of joked about that with Brian Jeffries being the guy that has to do a lot of things. You're busy, I'm busy, we got to cover games because that's what we do. There's going to be almost every day is going to be an event in the spring. There's no other way to not do it that way.
Well, they're going to have to. I mean, because if they're going to be having football on Saturdays, I think a lot of those Saturday basketball games are going to have to either move to Sundays or Fridays.
Right.
Or they're going to have to devise a schedule that doesn't look like what the Pac-12 schedule has looked like. You know, a Thursday Saturday mm-hmm. or Thursday Sunday thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and with the women, it's Friday Sunday. They're going to have to come up with something. You're going to have to play games on Tuesday and Monday.
Right.
You know, and then that, you know, look, if your classes are all online anyways, maybe that's not as big a deal anyways, you know, with mm-hmm. the travel and stuff. So, you know, I think everything is going to have to look different and, you know, get ready to spend
every day.
We're not going to the games. Fans aren't going to the games, at least basketball games is my guess.
I agree.
So it's going to be, you know, the players are going to be the ones who are going to have to adjust to playing games on days that they're not normally used to playing games on.
Sure. And that's just the sports you just mentioned, plus volleyball.
Right.
Indoor softball, you know, softball, baseball, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And every day is going to be occupied. You know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, maybe they'll need guys like us to go out and scorekeep and,
you know, they will.
You know,
they
officiate and stuff like that. I mean,
well, let me tell you something. You've been doing this for 30 years. It's not an easy job to do, one. And there's a group of you, five, six, I don't know how many, but you have done this for a long time. No one's just going to sit in there and make it look easy.
No, it's not easy.
That's my point. I mean, you have to give it to somebody who knows what he's doing.
Right. When I explain to people how doing stats for a basketball game works, they're like, how do you do that?
Well, you don't watch the game.
Yeah. Well, I don't see the game, but it's not easy to do. And, you know, I know there's probably, they've got somebody on staff who can do what I do, but there's only a couple of people in town who do my part, which is running that stat computer and that stat program. And there's only a handful of people in the country that know how to do that. You know, I'm good friends with guys up at the University of Washington. They do that stuff for, you know, the WNBA, University of Washington. That same circle of guys, I shouldn't say guys, people, do all that for all their sports up there. You know, for, you know, the guys at University of Washington, that crew, that football stat crew, works the Rose Bowl. And then they work the national championship game.
Because that's what they do.
Because that's what they do. I mean, I got asked to go do the stats for the Pac-12 game in China, and I did it the first 2 years. And I didn't do it the third year because I couldn't, but I went to China just because I knew how to run a stat computer. So there's only a handful of people around the country who know how to do this stuff.
Right.
And so...
So there's too much...
They're going to be calling on people to do that.
There's too much at risk not to have somebody who doesn't know what they're doing.
Right. You've got to have somebody who's, you know, who's...
knowledgeable.
The official scorekeeper at baseball games and softball games and keeping track of the, you know, running all the, you know, the stat programs and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot, way more that goes into running a game than people realize.
More than say, was that a strike? Was that a ball? It's not easy.
One of the biggest nightmares of my scorekeeping life was I got asked to be the official scorer for the 1989 baseball regional here in Tucson. 89? No, it was
90-something.
No, it was 90, 91, 92. Was that after I left sports writing? It wasn't 89. I covered it for the paper, but it was after that. I was no longer sports writer. I got asked to be the official scorekeeper, and I'm like, all I say, I remember saying to Tom Dulles, I said, just please don't give me a play where I've got to make a call, whether it's an error or not,
right
away. And true story on my father's grave, the first batter of the tournament lays down a bunt, third baseman, you know, makes the throw, probably should have had him, didn't get him, and I had to make the call. Was that a hit or an error?
Hit.
And I had no idea what to call there.
Hit.
And I can't remember what I called it, but I know that what I do remember is half the crowd booed.
Yeah, of course.
And half the crowd with the call.
I was going to say.
But very first batter.
And it was cake after that.
Yeah, it was great after that.
Yeah. No, that's funny because it was like the decision yesterday or 2 days ago with the Pac-12. No decision you make is going to make
everybody happy.
Right.
And it did. Boy, as stuff on social media, you know, we had guys even on our, you know, on our Twitter, you know,
arguing the case.
And I'm like, you know, I engaged them a little bit, but look, again, we've got to listen to the right people.
Right.
And most of the right people have MD or PhD after their name. I don't have any of that. I don't even have, you know, I mean, I've got journalism degree.
There is no BA. There's no I in team, but it is in media.
I have BA, and BA can stand for a lot of things.
Yeah, well, you probably have a lot of BS, too. BS. Hey, good show today. I know we have like a minute left. Good show, Tony Amato.
Right, Tony Amato. Thank you, Tony, again. You know, we wish you all the best, and, you know, Dave Rubio and all the other coaches at Arizona. And tomorrow...
we have Ollie Farhang.
Ollie Farhang going to come and tell us what the heck's going on with the Arizona Bowl now that both of their bowl tie-ins have called it quits.
Maybe
for the
they
fall.
Can get some team from the SEC, the last place team in the SEC, to come and play here.
God.
We'll see.
Oh, man.
Hey, Tom, thank you for your great old man insight.
I'm happy to be here, Steve.
Okay, we won't see you tomorrow.
No, sir. It's my weekend.
Enjoy your weekend.
Have a great weekend, Tom.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks a bunch. See you tomorrow.